Tesvov Kislev, Monday the 18th of November, Rabbi Yossi Feingold, Lo Alecha Hamalocha Ligmur. It is not your concern to complete the service.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to share some words of Torah with you this morning, and I'm most grateful and appreciative for the countless hours that I've personally been Nana from the quality Shiurim here at Torah Way. Through the various modes of technology, I'd like to make an observation of a pasuk in this week's parsha, and to shed some light to the significance, the chashivas, of the first day of Chanukah, specifically to the first day of Chanukah. For we all know the legendary question of the Beis Yosef. He wonders whether there's any significance at all to the first day of Chanukah. Since the first day is actually finding the Pach Shemen, there's no great miracle in finding the Pach Shemen. There may have been miracles in seven consecutive days afterwards, but there's no real great miracle in finding the Pach Shemen. Chachamim say, B'derach Tzachus, in jest, that it would have been worth adding another day of Yom Tov. Just the Kasha of the Beis Yosef brought about so many Chidushei Torah that were Neschadosh, so many hours of Harbatzas HaTorah, just for that alone it would have sufficed to add another day Yom Tov, another day of Chanukah. But about that's B'derach Tzachus. We'll try today to find an alternative insight to this. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchas Chanukah, writes words that are very, very enthusiastic about the mitzvah. He says in Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, and I quote, Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah on Chanukah, mitzvah chavivah he is a beloved mitzvah, ad ma'oid very much. But tzarich adam lihizor ba, one should be particular and conscientious about it, kedei lahidia hanes, in order to publicize the miracle. Ula hoisif b'shvach hakel v'hoidoy aloi, and to increase the praise and gratitude towards the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Al Hanisim Sha'asalanu, for the great miracles that he did for us. So the lashon that the Rambam is using is mitzvah chavivahi, it's a beautiful mitzvah, ad moed, it's an exceedingly beloved mitzvah. Very strong words. He finishes off with a halacha. Afilu ein loy ma yoichal. Even if loy aleinu, rachman al-tzlan, there's a person who has no other mode of surviving, elamanat tzedakah, except from survival from tzedakah. Shoyl, he's got to borrow some money. Oymoichek susoy, he must sell whatever he has. V'lukeach shemen v'neiros amavik, so that he too can participate in the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. So we have two things. First of all, it's a mitzvah chaviva. Second of all, this added dimension to the mitzvah, that even if a person is destitute, still such a person should try his utmost to be Mekai in the mitzvah. What is so unique and so special about the mitzvah of Chanukah that propels the Rambam to write with such enthusiasm that is unparalleled with any other mitzvah? We don't find this Lashon of Chavivus with Lulav, with Shofar, with Kiddush. It's unparalleled. Upon further research, we take a look in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch is less enthusiastic. There's no mention of any chavivos. In the first halacha, Simon Tov Reish Ayin, he writes the following, and I quote, B'chafei b'chislev, on the 25th of Kislev, Shmoinas Yemei Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah, V'asurim behesped uvetanis. It is prohibited to make a hesped, a eulogy, uvetanis, and to fast. Aval mutarim ba'asiyas malacha, but it's permissible to engage in work. This doesn't make sense in any language. We'll try English. On the 25th of Kislev, 8 days of Chanukah, and it's also to make a hesped. There seems to be some words missing. And that's why, if you take a Shulchan Aruch today, you'll see the following words were added, inserted. B'chaf hei, b'kislev, maschilin. In parentheses, you find the word maschilin. Now it makes sense. On the 25th of Kislev, maschilin, begin, shmoy nasimei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah. However, I think we need to appreciate who the Mechaber is. The Mechaber was a prolific writer. He wrote the entire Kesef Mishnah. He wrote the entire Beis Yosef. He wrote the whole Shulchan Aruch. He wrote and he wrote and he wrote dafim upon dafim upon dafim. And we could say it's a mistake, yes. And the Chanami could say it's a mistake, and that we have to add in a word to make sure that it's not a mistake. We'd like to suggest an alternative insight, rather than to say it's a mistake. A third observation we find in the Gemara in Shabbos, deep into the sugya of Chanukah. The Gemara is going to tell us two statements. They're both from the same person or people. It's going to be from Rav Kahana in the name of Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi in the name of Rav Tanchum. Two statements that are seemingly unconnected. Statement one is a halacha about Chanukah. Statement number two is an observation of a pasuk in this week's parasha. Omar Rav Kahana says, Dorash Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi Mishmed Rav Tanchum. Near Chanukah, if one places the menorah, kindles the menorah, Shenicha Lamal Michaf, that is kindled above 20 amos, Psula kesukah ukemuvah is disqualified, just as a sukkah is disqualified if it's higher than 20 amos. A muvah in erev is higher than 20. If it's higher than 20 amos, is disqualified. So too a menorah above 20 amos is disqualified. That's statement one. Statement number two, directly following this one, is about the pasuk in this week's parasha. We know that Yosef was thrown into a pit. The Torah elaborates about the pit. V'haboy reik ein boy mayim. Asks Rav Kahana, Darash v'Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi Mishmeid Rav Tanchum, Mimash Mashenemar. Since it writes V'haboy reik that the pit was empty, ein yodea she'ein boy mayim, is it not obvious that there's no water? And Rav Kahana says, you're right. Mayim ein boy avol mechashim ba'akravim yesh boy. It's full of snakes and scorpions. As I said before, there seems to be no kesher between the two memories, between the two statements. Other than the fact that they're both stated by Rav Kahana. Many Darshanim, many Balei Drush have tried to make a connection between the two. And we too will have a go. I'd like to make a disclaimer at this point. This shiur is based on a shmuz I heard from a gadol b'doreinu by the name of Rabbi Yisrael David Schlesinger of Monsi. He said this shiur about 10 years ago in Yiddish. And I feel an obligation to translate this in English to the best of our ability. He has a yesod that clarifies the aforementioned questions and clarifies many points about Chanukah. But let's for a minute replay the events that took place on the 25th of Kislev. On the 25th of Kislev, we're told that Chashmonai, Ubanov, a group of Chashmonai Jews, enter the Beis HaMikdash. What did the Beis HaMikdash look like? I haven't managed to find, maybe somebody can help me out here, I haven't managed to find how long the period of time was from when the Beis HaMikdash was defiled, from when the Yevonim came into the Beis HaMikdash, until the time the Chashmonaim came in. I heard 3 years. I'm not sure about this. So, let's say it's 3 years. So 3 years, they come in after 3 years, the Beis HaMikdash had been defiled, had been ransacked. There's geshkes in every nook and cranny. What's their purpose? Their purpose is lahachzir atoro liyoshna. They try to restore some normality to the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is, if there were any mizbechos that were still intact, chazirim, pigs had been offered up on it. So it was full of tumor. There's no atziah hamaracha to make a fire. They look around for a menorah. The menorah that was used 3 years ago, they don't have. They're boydik and boydik until they find motza pach echad shal shem, and they find one jar of oil. Had you asked me, I would say, you found a jar of oil, you don't have the menorah, the Beis HaMikdash is still in disarray, let's not rush things. The Gemara calls us amar paziza, always rushing. Let's not rush things, take your time. And al pi cheshbon, the Ran says al pi cheshbon, we'll calculate, where do we get oil from? So there was a place called Tekoya, and Tekoya was freshly squeezed. It takes 4 days to get to Tekoya, 4 days to get back. Within 8 days, in 8 days' time, they'll be able to make a more adequate menorah. They'll be able to light it, and then things will be restored back to normality. Don't rush into things now. What's going to happen if you're going to take this Pach Shem and you're going to light it, and then the next day you're not going to have oil? And befrat by Chanukah, there's this inyan of Lahalo's Ner Tomit, that there should be consecutive days that the menorah is lit for. Not a stop and start approach. Consecutive days. Lahal is neotomid. So had you asked me, I would have said, it's better to wait by the time you have, in 8 days' time, and have an adequate menorah, and your oil will last lahalas ner tamid. Says Rav Schlesinger, there's a fundamental yesod that works for avodas Hashem that completely does not jive with inyone olam hazeh. We call the title of the shiur today, Lo Alecha Hamlocha Ligmor. So the Mishnah says, Hu Haya Omer, this Tana said, Lo Alecha Hamlocha Ligmor. It's not upon us to finish the tasks. This is an avodas Hashem. It's not upon us to finish every task, every mitzvah that we start. But, V'lo yato ben chayrin libatol mimena, we don't have the right to desist from it. We can't sit by idly and not do anything. Do something, you might not reach the end, you might not be able to complete it, it might not be a mitzvah, shebeshleimus, shebetachlis hashleimus. But do something, lo yalecha hamlocha ligmor. You don't have to finish it. Binagei olam hazeh is completely the opposite. If I were to hire a painter, and the painter at the end of the day says, look, the only paint that I had was what I had in my car. So all I've done for you is you asked me to do the dining room, I've done half a job. You asked me to do the kitchen, I've done a quarter of a job. Lo yalecham locha ligmar, it's considered done. Of course, it doesn't work in inyone olam hazeh. But a big chiddush, the mission is a big chiddush if you think about it. You do a small act, and that's considered done. It's considered a completed task. Ah, you haven't finished it? Lo yalecham locha ligmar. You've got to still see everything that you can. If whatever's in your resources, that's what you need to do. That was the cheshbon, that was the havana of these chashmonoim. They said to themselves, it's incumbent on every individual to do whatever he can do at that moment of time in avodas Hashem. The fact I'm not going to have a pach shemen tomorrow or the next day, doesn't matter, I'm going to do what I need to do now. We don't realize the godless of everything that we do. The small things that we do can have cosmic proportions in Shemaim. And therefore, what in actual fact happened was, is that they shteltsu, they did some sort of pu'ula, they did a ma'isa. And they said to themselves, we can't stand idly by. Loi ata ben chayin livatal mimena. Even if it's not going to be a completed task, we'll do what we need to do now. What did Hashem do? Hashem made the lights burn for 8 days. So answer Schlesinger, what happens? Let's just think to ourselves, what would have happened had the Ness only have been for 4 days? There would have been a Ness. Hashem would have said, let the light or let the oil burn for not 8 days, for 3 days, for 4 days, for 5 days. Would we have had Chanukah? Says Rav Schlesinger, Chiddush. There would not have been Chanukah. You may have celebrated the Ness, there may have been... I've got a book now about Chanukah. I'm reading some Nissan that happened with Talmud HaMelech. Nissan that we've never heard before. It would have been another Ness we would have put aside. And would have been in the libraries. But the Ness of Chanukah, the Yesod of Chanukah, we wouldn't have had. Why? Because the essence of Chanukah is, the whole foundation, the Yesod of Chanukah is, that a Yid does something in Avodas Hashem. He puts all his effort, whatever potentially he can do, what's at his disposal, he uses to its maximum. Then Hashem says, for me that's considered a complete mitzvah. So he did the first, they take the Pashem and they light it the first night, and Hashem says, I'm going to make this burn the full 8 days until you have the replenished stock which is coming from Tekoya. Perhaps this can answer some of our dilemmas. We find that the Mechaber said b'chafhei b'nissan, b'chafhei b'kislev on the 25th of Kislev, ches, shmoy nasi mei chanukah. What do you mean shmoy nasi mei chanukah? Maschilin, I should say. But according to the Yesod is that on the 25th, herein on the 25th lies the entire foundation of Chanukah, the entire secret of Chanukah. The secret of Chanukah is on the 25th, you find the full 8 days. Because what did they do? They shteltsu and they tried, they did the pu'ula, they did whatever that was in their hands to do. And the Baruch Hashem says, because of that 25th, you're going to have the full 8 days, the whole completed mitzvah, the full item. That's behind the lashon of the Mecha, Rambam, who says mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. This mitzvah is unique, it's special. Why is this mitzvah special? Because this mitzvah is telling us an insight about all other 612 mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah called Chanukah that tells us about Chanukah is a mitzvah drabonon. About 613 mitzvahs. And that is how it is. You might think that it's very far from me, this mitzvah. I cannot complete the task. It's too hard for me. Comes along Chanukah, the Yisoid, and the essence of Chanukah is no. Loi ato ben chayrin, you're not. You cannot desist from doing the mitzvah. But even if you don't complete that task, loi alecha hamlocha ligmar. It's considered if you do it with the shleimus that you can, it's considered a complete task. How many stories have we heard from the Holocaust? What the stories that I've heard. They tried to light one light, they didn't have anything, no oil. And somebody pulled out of his pajamas a little thread, and they light that, they say a bracha. They were maligim, saying, how can you say a bracha? V'higiyonu l'zman hazeh, you're going to thank Hashem for coming to this. Still, they said, we're going to do whatever we can to do it. How much that's worth, be'enei Hashem, that's considered a completed task. Perhaps this can answer another point in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, mitzvahs ner Chanukah, we have Ne'erush or Beisai, there's a Pashita way of doing the mitzvah. Then there's another level, Vahamahajin. Then there's another level, Vahamahajin, Minamahajin. All of a sudden we find three levels of the mitzvah. Again, we never find such three levels with any other mitzvah. It's unique, specific to Chanukah. The answer is because that's the essence of Chanukah. The essence of Chanukah is that a person needs to do what is available at that time. If there's limited resources, use them to the maximum. And then you'll be doing a shleimus of the mitzvah. V'hamizboinen, if we look further, we'll find also in the Gemara a machlokes with regard to kovsa zakukla, kovsa in zakukla. If you've lit it and it becomes extinguished, is it necessary to relight it? Is it necessary to make another bracha? We pass in kovsa in zakukla. If it's been lit in zakukla, it's not necessary to do anything anymore. Why? Because the person has done his maximum. He's put the menorah together, he's found the wicks. He said the Shem Yichud, he went to mikveh before. He lights the menorah, comes a ruach. Ruach Matsuya, She'ena Matsuya, blows it out. Lo yalecha hamlocha ligmar. Even if it's for 5 minutes, it was a light for 5 minutes, you don't have tichla regal min ashok. You don't have half an hour. Kavsa in zakukla. You've done everything that you have at your dispense, so then it's considered a mitzvah v'tachlus, v'tachlus hashlemus. Moirai v'rabozai, time is going against me. I wanted to say an incredible story. The Choshem HaKrovim, okay. We find with Reuven, what was the philosophy of Reuven? Reuven sees that there are brothers who have either been done Yosef Lamoves, and they were going to kill Yosef. And at that point in time, Reuven says to himself, you know what we need to do? Rather than kill him, let's put him into a boy. And the Torah tells us about this boy, these words, Leman Hatzil Oisai Miyodom, so that he becomes saved. There is a salvation. My Reverend Rabbi said, what type of salvation is there? You're taking a person who's going to be killed, and you're going to put him into a pit full of Nechashim Akravim. How is this a Yeshua? How is this a salvation? In fact, there's a Gemara in Yevamah says that if a person's put into a pit with Nechashim Akravim, his wife can go and remarry. Because the Chazak is that the guy's a goner. So what does it mean that Reuven, Leman Hatzil Oisai Miyodom, he was going to save him by throwing him into a pit? But again, Hainohach, the words that we've said so far is, Reuven thinks to himself, what can I do at this moment in time? How can I still see in this moment in time? The only thing that's available in front of me is another option, throw him into a pit. What did the Rabbi Shalom do? The Rabbi Shalom made that Hatzal, they made it a proper Hatzalah. And in the Torah it says, Leman Hatzil Oisai Miyodom. That small puller that he did. He did it in Hashem Shemaim. He did it with what was available in front, with the maximum that was available, and it's considered Leman Hatzil Oisai Miyodom. In fact, the Medrash goes on to say that had Reuven have known what would have happened, he would have put him on his shoulders, he would have danced with Topim and Mecholos, and all the Mepharshim are asking, what do you mean he would have danced with Topim and Mecholos? That means he was only doing this for everyone to see, for the press was there. The answer is no, that he didn't know the extent of what he was doing. He didn't realize the extent of what he was doing. But yet the Rabbeinu Shlomo made it into a total salvation, a total Hatzalah. Moreover, Rabbosai, Yeshiva Shari Torah made an exquisite dinner for their 30th anniversary 2 weeks ago. And as a keynote speaker, they brought over Rav Ephraim Eliyahu Shapiro, who I'm privileged to be well acquainted with, and he gave a phenomenal drasha. And in his drasha, he said an awe-inspiring story that literally enthralled the whole audience, Minoshim Bad Noshim, Taf Bad Zogin. I'd like to share the story with you today. And I apologize if there's anyone amongst you who attended, but it's Nogel in your Neinu. We'll start with a boy called Arik Sislovitska. Arik Sislovitska was a young boy who was, Rahman al-Islam, orphaned from his mother at a young age. And his father was struggling with bringing back a livelihood for the children. Some of the siblings were fostered by other families. One was fostered, unfortunately, by a Bundist family, and that made an indelible change on his sibling's life. But Arik Sislovitsa remained with his father. And tragically, a few years later, his father also passed away. And he was sent to his uncle's house. His uncle was called Reb Shlomo Zalman, who was a Rav in the town, in the city Minsk, which was 66 miles from this town, Sislovitz, where Arik lived. And in this house, Reb Shlomo Zalman was a Rav in the town Minsk. The fact that Arik came to live with him did not make it easier on his financial situation. And at 12 years old, when Arik left to join a chabura of young boys that were learning in a shul, the Katsovich shul in Minsk, he breathed a sigh of relief that now he doesn't have to take care of him so much, and he would go and knock on people's doors for kest, one night here supper, one night there supper. Well, fast forward 58 years. This Reb Ephraim Shapiro's father was called Rav Mordechai Shapiro. He was the Rav of a shul called Beth Israel, which is in Miami Beach. Rav Mordechai Shapiro is walking along Rehov Allenby in Tel Aviv. On the Erev Shabbos, he wants to change money. He passes a kiosk, he changes money, and there he sees a Bachein Tayid, an old Fatatish Yid with a beard. He doesn't say much. He's learning from a pocket Mishnayas Maza Sheni. He gives him the money is exchanged, and he waits for the next customer. Rabbi Shapiro moves back, and he views this kiosk again. There's something about this kiosk that was getting his interest. The next customer passes by, and he wants some groceries. Again, the same thing happens. Groceries are passed, money's exchanged, tada, and he gets back to his Mishnayas, and he's learning. A few minutes later, a third customer walks over to the kiosk and says, "Efshar sigariot mevaksha, can I buy cigarettes?" To which the Bala kiosk answers, "Masha'a." He answers, "12:30, half past 12, Friday afternoon." The Bala kiosk says, "Slicha, achre chatzot ani lo moche sigariot. After chatzos, my minute, I'm not selling cigarettes." This piqued the interest of Rabbi Shapiro, who plucked up the courage to go over to the Bala kiosk and to strike up a conversation. So he strikes up a conversation, they ask where each other's from, and during the dialogue, Rav Shapiro explained that he's from America. America? Yeah. He said to him, "Was is geschehen mit Arik Sislovitska? Whatever happened to Arik Sislovitska?" So Rav Mordechai Shapiro says, "I haven't heard of this person, tell me more information." So he explained he's a very bright person, that he went to this yeshiva, went to that yeshiva. Rav Mordechai Shapiro is getting whiter and whiter, and he says, "Barabaran Kotla? Efshir means Barabaran Kotla? And Sislovitzke Gibain, he was born in Sislovitzke." So Rav Mordechai Shapiro, he understands that he's talking about Rav Aaron Kotler, and he's a little bit offended. Whatever happened to Arik Sislovitzke? What do you mean, what happened to Arik Sislovitzke? Harav Aaron Kotler is the Rosh Yeshiva of the greatest yeshiva in America. Beis Medrash Gevurah Lakewood Yeshiva is the biggest, best yeshiva in America. And then he starts getting more passionate about it. You know who Rav Aaron Kotler is? He's the Rabban Shelkol B'nei Agoyla. And he gets even more passionate, tells him he's the Sarah Torah, he's the Nasi Dereinu. And in the middle, he sees that the Bala kiosk, who had told him his name was Rabbi Yankel Oxenkrug, that was what his name was, Rabbi Yankel Ochsenkrug, his eyes are swelling with tears. By the time he's finished with his whole passionate talk about Rabbi Aaron, the tears were flowing freely. I said, "I'm sorry, Rabbi Yankel, I don't know what I've done to you. Please explain. What's your shaykhus, what's your kesher with Rabbi Aaron Kotler?" So he said, "I used to live in Minsk, and at my time I wanted to go to yeshiva. The matzav ha-yeshivas was in such dire straits, no one could afford it, no one could go. The greatest of the great, the child prodigies that saw future, maybe they would go. I wanted to learn Torah, but there was no future. So I couldn't. And I really yearned to be able to learn Torah Lishma. And I didn't know what to do. I wanted to help out with the matzav, the whole matzav in Europe. I wanted to help out with all the yeshivas, the vada yeshivas. But what can I do? An individual. What possibly could I do?" He said, "But it wasn't long I entered the business and I was a katzav. I joined the katzavish shul. I was a katzav. I was a butcher. Not long afterwards, business was going well. And I made a cheshbon. I made a calculation. For every kilo of meat that I would sell, I would make a ruble. For every ruble I would make, I'd put away a kopek in a jar. Small jar at the side. Every time he had a ruble, one kopek went into the jar. And kopek after kopek after kopek went into the jar. It started filling up. Vayihi hayom, and the jar was full. B'simcha rabba, he takes the jar over to the katzavish shul and looks for the Rosh Chabura. And he says to the Rosh Chabura, I have not been zoicha to learn Torah." He was a Talmud Chachim. He wasn't zoicha to learn Torah lishma full time. "So what I'd like to do is help out as much as I can. Here's a jar, and do as you see fit with this jar." So the Rosh Chabura, I think his name was Rav Goloventchik, says to him, "This is unbelievable, Siyata Deshmaya. Thank you so much. There's two child prodigies who we think should further their Gemara studies, and we could never afford their train ticket, but a gross eshkoyach, we'll send them to the big yeshiva Slobodka." So Rabbi Yankel Ochsenkrug turns to Rav Moshe Shapira and said, "I heard that the name of one of the students was Arik Sislavitska, and that's why I asked you who this person was. You tell me, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, it gives me big simcha. I'm so happy. It gives me tears of joy." Rabbi Ephraim Eliyahu Shapiro is telling the story in Yeshiva Shaar Torah, and he says as follows. It's a gewaldic story. He's got so many limudim. He says, in the late 70s, he was a young child, and his father had guests for lunch. It was winter, and in walks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Kamenetsky walks in, and Rav Moshe Shapira and Yaakov Kamenetsky, they reminisce, and they discuss with each other days of old. And Rav Moshe Shapira says that story. And Rav Yaakov smiles from the beginning of the story to the end of the story. And then he pops the question, who was the second bacha? And Rav Moshe Shapira is sitting at the edge of his seat, with his mouth wide open like this. No. He says, "That's Tzveita Bacha Gevein Yankov Kamenetsky." That was a story Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro said he heard in his own house. Rabbi Yisai, did Rabbi Yankel Ochsenkrug think for a second that he would be a factor in rebuilding Torah in America? Did he even think there would be a frum community in America? Never mind the B'nai Torah, the biggest yeshivas in the world. Not for a minute. But he made a Pashta Chesbon. "I can't do much, but whatever I can do, I will do. Kol ma shebiyodcha asay. I can't be mevatel mimeno, even if it's lo yalecha hamlocha, but it's lo yalecha hamlocha ligmar." This is the essence of Chanukah. This is why the mitzvah of Chanukah is chaviva, he admoid, is exceedingly beautiful. It gives us a message through all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. The message is, do whatever is at your, whatever you can do. Kol ma'asher b'yodcha aseh. This is why the 25th of Kislev encapsulates the full 8 days of Chanukah. Because on the 25th, they did their maximum that was at their resources. They did the maximum that the resources allowed them to do. What did Hashem do in return? He showed them it was shalem, complete, betachlos hashlemus. This is the meaning of kafsa in zakukla. If it is distinguished, you don't need to worry, because you've done everything that you need to do. Perhaps here's the best address to write that a poor person should do everything he can, dafka by Chanukah. He needs to do his maximum. Hashem will give him siyat Shemaya for the future, but do your maximum. So, my Rabbi, I'd like to end with a bracha. We should be zoicha to all the hashbos. We should be zoicha to the right hachanas for Chanukah. We should be zoicha to all the hashbos that comes along with Chanukah. And the oil that comes along with Chanukah. We should be zoicha to oil chadosh al tzion tayir v'nizkei chilun yachad. Amen. Thank you.